Ephesians 2, verse 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Paul tells us that we are created in Christ Jesus for good works. Works do not save us, but works are a sure product of our salvation. Good works will mark your life. The word good means that which excels, is useful, something of a good nature. The word works refers to employment, that which one is occupied. In other words, it refers to how do you spend your time. The child of God will evidence a life that is occupied with deeds that reflect well on the Lord Jesus Christ. Philippians 1:27 tells us this, only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ. Let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ. The good works of our new life in Christ Jesus stand in contrast to the old works of the flesh. What are the old works of the flesh? Galatians 5:19-21. Now the works of the flesh are evident. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contention, jealousies, wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like. These are the works of the flesh. The new life that God places within us when he saves us always manifests itself in good works. And when we are truly in Christ, our walk will be different. It will no longer be dominated by the works of the flesh. It will be different. Ephesians 2 verses 2 tells us, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of the flesh. It says you once walked that way. That was your life previously. The new life that God creates within us when we're saved always works its way through us in our works. Whatever is on the inside of a man always works its way to the outside. That's why when you hear people say, oh, well, he didn't really mean it. You don't know his heart. You don't really know what he was thinking. That's not true. What's in a man comes out of a man. Matthew 15:17-20. Do you not understand? Whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach and is eliminated. But those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and they defile a man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts and murders and adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witnesses, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man. But to eat with unwashed hands, that doesn't defile a man. It's what is in the heart comes out of the mouth. Look at Matthew 12:33-37. This is Jesus Christ speaking. Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree bad and its fruit bad. For a tree is known by its fruit. Brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. When people say, oh, he didn't really mean that. He meant it. It just finally come up out of his mouth what was in his heart. Verse 35 of Matthew 12. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. When God saves a soul and changes a life, he moves into that life and he changes that person. John 14, verse 17. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. The Holy Spirit, when you become a child of God, comes to live inside of you. That's why good works must always follow a true conversion. When God dwells in any life, he makes his presence known. If he's in your heart, he'll let his presence be known through you in the way that you live. In Galatians 5, I read to you about the works of the flesh. We'll look at the fruit of the Spirit in that same chapter, Galatians 5, 22 to 23. You're a child of God, you say? Are these things present in your life? I didn't say perfect, but present. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Is that fruit evident in your life? Where the Holy Spirit comes and dwells in a life, that is what it looks like. Love, peace, joy, goodness, kindness, faithfulness, long-suffering, gentleness, self-control. I didn't say perfect. But do you see that fruit there? Matthew 7, verse 16 to 20 tells us, you shall know them by their fruit. Do men gather grapes from thorns or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree brings forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree brings forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that brings not forth good fruit is cut down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits you shall know them. By their fruit you shall know them. Now I ask you the question. Is your life characterized by the works of the flesh that I read from Galatians about the adultery, fornication, drunkenness, idolatry, sorcery, envy, murders? Is that your lifestyle? Or is your lifestyle love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control? Which characterizes your life? By what characterizes your life, you can know if you're a child of God or not. Matthew 7, 21 to 23. Very important scripture to memorize, to meditate on. Not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Many, 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 many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, and in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name do many wonderful works? And then I will profess unto them. Realize, this is Christ speaking. And then I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you that worketh iniquity. Once again, what kind of works do you have? Good works or works that work iniquity? Is it the works of the flesh or is it the fruit of the Spirit? It's one or the other. It's yin or yang. It's zero or one. It's up or down. It's left or right. It's black or white. There's many who claim to be saved. They pray a prayer at an altar call. They made a profession. They joined a church. They got rid of a few sins. They did what they thought was necessary, but they missed the most important thing of all. They missed Jesus Christ. Have you ever come to Christ? I didn't say, did you sign a role at a church? Did you become a member of a church? Is your mother and father saved? Your aunt and your uncle saved? I ain't saying that. Are you changed? Not an altar call, not a profession, not joining a church, not getting rid of a few sins, but you came to Christ. Christ is everything. Christ is all. Many people have raised hands at altar calls, but they never were saved. They never came to Christ. Their lives never changed. They never produced those good works that are the evidence. It's the evidence of a genuine salvation. God's desire is that every one of his redeemed saints bears fruit to his glory. Colossians 1:10, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, increasing in the knowledge of God. That is what a child of God looks like. Look at Matthew 7, verses 24 to 27. Another serious scripture. Matthew 7, 24 to 27. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on a rock. The rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on the house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. It was founded on Christ. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell. And great was its fall. Which house? The house that is founded on the rock, or the house that is built on the sand? Where is your foundation? When the flood came, the one house was destroyed. So it will be when the wrath of God falls on those who do not know Jesus Christ. If the life has never been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ and saved by the grace of God, that person will be condemned. That person will be swept away into the fires of eternal damnation. The message is simple. Repent or perish. And if you truly repent and believe on Jesus Christ, good works will mark your life. Not the works of the flesh. Not the works of the flesh, but the works of a new man who's walking in faith. The fruit of the Spirit will be evident in your life. It must be there. And once again, I'm going to say to you, it is not going to be perfect. It is not. I'm not saying you're not going to have a struggle. I'm not saying that. But that now is the goal of your life. You want to manifest good works. You want the fruit of the Spirit to be produced in your life. And why is that? Because you're a new creature. And the good works have been ordained by God that we should walk in them. God has ordained them. Go back to our text in Ephesians 2, verse 10. Created in Christ Jesus for good works. Notice, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Prepared beforehand, preordained. The text makes it clear that God expects his people to walk in good works. That word walk means to make one's way. Is that your way? To regulate one's life. Is your life regulated by good works? To make full use of opportunities. Are you making the most out of the opportunities that God puts before you? Or is your attitude, I could care less? I'm living for myself. I'm going about my business. I got things to do. Get out of my way. What is your attitude? Are you a servant of men and women and boys and girls to bless them? Is that the goal of your life? And once again, that is the bent of your life. It's never going to be perfect. But to walk in those good works, regulating our life. And that word in our text, walk, it's in a tense that suggests a once and for all decision to walk in good works. You know that's what your life is about now. You set out on the path and you don't turn back. You believe in Jesus Christ, and that becomes your life. There's no turning back. Once again, I'm not saying you don't fall and stumble along the way, but you get up, you shake the dust off, and you keep on going. Your eyes now are on Zion, on the promised land, on heaven. You're just a pilgrim here. You're journeying through this world. That's it. Your hopes, your goals in this life is not to live your best life now here in this world. Your goal now is, this is my worst life, and I'm going to a far better life. And everything you do now is geared towards heaven, geared towards the glory of God. You've made the decision to walk in good works. In other words, it isn't some person that can turn it on and off. You don't walk for God for 6 months, then for yourself for 10 years. If you're referring, what it's referring to in that tense is a fixed way of life is that is committed to living the way God intends for his people to live. It's realizing what the scripture says. You no longer live for yourself. You're dead. You've died, but you're alive in Christ. What does God expect out of his people? What kind of walk are we talking about? A walk in love, with the walk in love, with the walk in obedience, with the walk in faithfulness, with the walk in holiness. And why is that? I read to you earlier, the Holy Spirit comes and lives inside you, dwells inside you. Well, what do you think his bent on life is going to be? Holiness. It's key in his name, Holy Spirit. It's not the unholy spirit, it's the Holy Spirit. Your flesh still has a tendency to want to do unholy things, but the Holy Spirit says, no, Bill, now you walk in love, you walk in obedience, you walk in faithfulness, you walk in holiness. And why is that? Because sanctification is a process. God saves you from a life of sin, and it begins a process of transforming your life. He remakes you into the image of his Son. That's the meaning of Romans 8, verse 29. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined, notice, to be conformed to the image of his Son. Brothers and sisters, we're being conformed into the image of Jesus Christ, the Holy One of Israel, the fairest of 10,000, the servant of all, the lover of souls, the one who perfectly obeyed his Father. Holy, obeying, loving, faithful. That's the image we're being conformed into. And if you are not being conformed into that, I'm telling you as lovingly as I possibly can, you need to repent and to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because you have been deceived by religion. You've been deceived by a false hope. If your life is not a reflection of the character of Jesus Christ, you are not a child of God. There's no such thing as, well, he's my Savior and he's not my Lord. He's Savior and Lord. He's the King of kings and Lord of lords. And when he saves a life, he comes in to rule that life. Once again, I'm going to remind you, it's not going to be perfect. But that is going to be the goal. That's going to be your desire. Is your desire today to be more Christ-like? I mean, I would hope, I would think the very fact that you're listening to a message like that would make me think that that's your goal in life. You're not listening to a message about being preordained onto good works, unto Jesus Christ for no reason at all. We must live changed lives. And that's because God has promised us in Philippians 1:6, being confident of this very thing, that he that begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. That's why good works has to follow. God preordained that we shall walk in them. And he has promised that he's going to finish the work that he started. Even realize that the good works that you do, the only reason you're doing them is God changed your will. He's given you a desire to do it, and he's empowering you to walk in those good works by the Holy Spirit, so that there's no boasting. For God preordained them. He ordained that we should walk in them. It reminds us we're not saved by any accident. It was in God's plan to save us by his grace so that we might live for him. He didn't save you by his grace so you live for him yourself. You've been doing that all your life. Ain't you had enough of that yet? Before we ever come to Christ by faith, God has already planned the path that he would have us to walk. He did it with Jeremiah. Before I formed you in the belly, I knew you. And before thou came forth out of the womb, I sanctified you and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. God does the work previously in our lives. The good steps of a good man and women are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. Proverbs 16:9, a man's heart devises his way. But the Lord directs his steps. And it is God's will that his people clothe themselves in works that glorify him. Those works have been prepared for us, and our duty is to, by faith, surrender to the Lord's lordship over our lives. Paul in Romans 12, verses 1 and 2 tells us this. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. See, he's calling you, brethren. He's saying you're a child of God already. By the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. That's what we're to do. Present your body a living sacrifice. Give God a present. Sacrifice your life. A living sacrifice. Holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. What God is asking you to do is not crazy. It's not insanity. It's reasonable. Which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That's the Lord's will for your life. Offer your body a living sacrifice to him. Don't be conformed to this world, and be transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind. By reading the word, meditating on the word. Find the path that God has laid out for your life and walk in it for his glory. Because a legitimate faith always manifests itself in good works. And if you have no idea what I'm talking about today, or if you're trying to be saved by your good works, come to Jesus Christ today. If you're not a child of God, you may do some religious things, but those are not good works. Because they have to be ordained by him, preordained by him in Christ Jesus. Notice once again our text in Ephesians 2, verse 10. We're his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand. See, his workmanship, created in Christ, prepared beforehand. So this way there's no boasting. There'll be nobody in heaven. Well, I did this, and I did that, and I did this, and I did the other thing. Any good works you do, it's because God has enabled you to do them. He brings us out of death so we can live our new life through Christ. He brings us out of deception so that we can know the truth. He brings us out of our depravity so we can walk in righteousness. He saves us from our doomed eternity, so that we can be blessings of salvation to others. God doesn't save us so that we can live for ourselves. He saves us so we can live for him. He saves us so we can walk in newness of life. He saves us that he can use us for his glory in this world. He saves us to put us to work for him and bring in a lost world to Jesus Christ. You want purpose in your life? There's purpose to be used by God for his glory, bringing a lost world to Jesus Christ. There's no higher calling in this world. Let me close with these couple questions. Have you been saved and changed by God's grace? If not, you need to come to Christ today. If you come to Him, He'll save your soul. Is your life marked, not by perfection, but by a profound change and by works that glorify God? If it is, you should thank God that there's evidence of your conversion. If it is not, then you should come to Christ, because your lack of works is evidence of your lost condition. Are you doing everything that God called you to do? If you're not, let me invite you to fully surrender to His will today and allow Him to take the reins of your life for His glory. Because I'm going to tell you, if you truly a child of God, you know, when I say about, well, surrender and turn over your life, listen, you either do it on your own, or if you're truly a child of God, He's going to do it Himself. And when He does it, I'm telling you from previous experience, it can get ugly. I'm telling you that out of love. I'm not telling you to scare you. I'm telling you like a father tells a child, listen, don't play in the traffic. If you keep on playing this with this world and you're truly a child of God, God will invade your life and take over the reins of your life. And lastly, are you grateful to God for His work of grace in your life? Are you grateful? Today, either come to Him, and you will be grateful for what He has done and is doing. And if you're not grateful, and you're a child of God today, repent of that sin. For in the beginning of Romans, when Paul is telling the Romans about the sins of the world, he says, and neither were they thankful. If you're not saved today, come to Christ and be saved. If you are saved and you're not thankful, repent of that sin. Repent of not being thankful and become a grateful believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. For He laid down His life for you and shed His blood to pay for your sins and to give you eternal life.